You know, we just got out of the buzzword or phrase of everything was moving forward. Everything, you know, it seems like everybody's sentence had to have the word words moving forward. And, well, it's like as if you want to be moving backwards. But anyways, we get these buzzwords, and or remember back where it was, oh, my bad, and or not. And then way back, as if, or whatever, or L7, Daddy, oh, L7. Yeah, way back. But when I was in high school, we had this, and I don't know where it came from. I thought it was all about me. Then I realized, there's other places that use that phrase. It was called Doubts Ralph. It was like, oh, I thought there, you know, this is directed to me. Like, oh, I'm unpopular. Then I realized, yeah, it's just it's a buzzword, buzz phrase that's being said other places as well. Or sure, Lyle, you know, or no confusion here, Orly. There's just so many buzzwords that go back so far. But, you know, the reset is used by from our prime minister to Hollywood people, and now even hockey commentators. If you're going back behind the net, you're going to reset. Well, there's truth there in that. But so often when they bring buzzwords out, then they change the meaning. And that's what's happening with this worldwide reset thing. To reset something usually means to put it back where it was, like you hit the reset button. It's not going to be something new. It's going to be back the way it should be. You reset it. Or that's what happens in a bowling alley. Bowling pins get reset. You know. But now there's a whole new meaning coming to it. They take these words that we grew up with and decide that, well, maybe they should have a different meaning to them. Put a twist on them. But so we don't want to reset. We want transformation. Transformation is a dramatic change in the form or appearance, an extreme radical change, according to Webster's. All right? So when we're talking about our life, we don't want to reset. We want transformation. Like when we got saved, we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Everything, old things are all passed away and all things became new. Hence the song, just call on Jesus. Well, he turned my life around. Amen, he did, and he still does. And so we like that. We became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Also, when we look, as I mentioned already this morning, at the transforming power of God, we usually want to look ahead. But it's also okay to look back at the milestones and the transformations that have taken place in the past. I'll just bring one to your memory. You're probably very familiar with this. From Joshua, chapter 4. Verses 4, 5, and 7. All right, I don't know what happened to all of the words off the psalm. I thought I had copied and pasted everything, and then you get it back up there in reality, and it's like, it's disappeared on you. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord, your God, in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites. Then verse 7 is, these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. It's okay to have those memorials, you know. Like, we want to keep moving on in God, but, you know, we want to be able to also go back to the past and say, you know, I remember. You know, especially if you're going through hard times, then you realize, well, God came through for me back then. He'll do it again. You know, and you got that reassurance. You're building on these stones. One of the ways that we can identify transforming times is when we sense those special occasions with the Lord. It's not that he's not with us all the time, but there's those special occasions with the Lord. You know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the roar of the Lord. And I shared with you a little bit about the roar of the Lord in my life. But today, we're going to speak about the hand of the Lord, or the Lord's hand, when we talk about transformation. And you say, is the hand of the Lord different from the roar of the Lord? Well, it can be, because I think the roar of the Lord is it's much more of a out-in-your-face thing, where the hand of the Lord can be very, very gentle. But it can also be the same thing. It's just the Lord. It's just the Lord allowing the Lord to work in our lives. Now, the obvious occasions where we saw the hand of the Lord when Jesus touched people and they were healed or they were delivered. Awesomeness. He went about doing all those wonderful signs and wonders, and we saw the hand of the Lord upon people that had couldn't, especially those with certain diseases, they couldn't be touched. But Jesus touched them anyways and made them whole. So let's look at a few this morning, just as a word of encouragement for you. Psalms chapter 18, 35, the Psalms writes, "You gave me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stooped down to make me great." Isn't that awesome? With the hand of the Lord, he stepped down, stooped down, as the psalmist put it, and lifted him. I think we've experienced that, and I don't think we've finished experiencing the hand of the Lord. It's like, "Lord, you are so great, you are so awesome, and yet you're doing this for me? This is really awesome." And so the psalmist experienced that. Then we have the prophet experiencing it. All right. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and help you. I'll strengthen you and help you. I uphold you with my righteous right hand." Again, we see that the prophet here experiencing the hand of the Lord in kind of a different way than David did. But yet it was still the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter what the Lord touches or who he touches, whether it's everything or everyone, what the Lord touches, he transforms. You know, he's life. He's life, he's love, he's all the things. And so when he touches something, something's gonna happen. And it's always good. Amen. All right. Now we go a little further down in that same chapter to verses 18 and 20. What happens on here doesn't necessarily happen on there. But we will get there. Yeah. Okay, so, like I say, whether it's nature or whether it's you and I, when the Lord's hand touches something, there's something, life comes. Something is produced. "I will make rivers flow on barren heights, springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water, and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I will set junipers in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress together, so that the people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this." We see where the hand of the Lord has been. We see stuff fulfilled in Israel today from a lot of these scriptures and things happening that weren't happening back then. But the hand of the Lord was there. And the hand of the Lord is in your situation and then my situation. So let's go to the New Testament, to Antioch, Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 21. "Now, those who had been scattered by persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord." So the church had stayed in and near Jerusalem. Remember, they were given the mandate to go out, though they didn't go anywhere until persecution came. And then when Stephen was killed and persecution broke out, although these people were living in new towns and in new cities, and we don't know whether they got to take their belongings with them or whether they had nothing, but they had the good news. And they shared that good news wherever they went. And so first of all, they went into this place called Antioch, very pagan place, and they started reaching the Jews there. But then there's some other people that had some good news. And that's people from Cyrene and from Cyprus. And they were just ordinary people. They weren't the apostles or anything like that. They were just ordinary, but they had a burden to share the good news of the gospel. Now, just for your information, Cyrene is where Libya would be now today. So that's a long ways to go to Antioch, because Antioch's where Syria is now. Cyprus is still where Cyprus is. It's an island there in the Mediterranean. But these believers went with the good news of the gospel, first to the Jews and then to people like ourselves, the Greeks and Jews, we'd say, the Gentiles. And they shared the good news. And you know, the word Christian is only found three times in the New Testament. If we were to go on to verse 26 in this chapter, it tells about that's where believers were first called Christians in Antioch. And then we find it in Acts 26 and then 1 Peter 4. And in each case, it was a pagan world using the word Christian to identify believers in Christ. This meant the pagan world saw Jesus Christ reflected in the lives of the believers. That still needs to happen. You know, they saw something. I think the King James says the hand of the Lord was with them. There was something that they saw that they identified. These are followers of Christ. And we see a mark of their leader in their lives. There's something different about these people. So we're going to identify them because it's what people in Antioch like to do. They like to have nicknames for things. So they said, these are Christians. They're followers of Christ. It's obvious to us. And that's the cool thing. The early believers were identified as Christians because, I believe, of their conversion. Jesus Christ had dramatically changed their lives, and it reflected that change in every situation. They did what Jesus would have done in tough times. They shared good news. Through tough times, they were being persecuted, but they shared the good news. I believe these early believers were identified as Christians because of their, not only because of their conversion, but because of their commitment. And commitment to God is not measured by what you do for God, but what we allow God to do through us. And that's why it's not works-based, it's faith-based, and we just open up our hearts and lives. And as the Lord opens the doors and opens the windows and creates the pathways for us, we go out and share the good news. They could see the Lord's hand was with them. Paul identified this too. You know, he said, he lived, yet it wasn't he who lived, but Christ who lived through him. Paul worked, yes, he worked, but it wasn't him who worked, it was Jesus working through him. This is something that I really want to see the hand of the Lord evident in each of our lives in an ever-increasing and transforming way. That the world will see, there's something different. The hand of the Lord is upon them. And I just leave that as encouragement to you. You know, I don't know how that's going to look in the days to come. Let's just take it a day at a time and allow God to work through our hearts and through our lives. And so I threw up this old course because I'm looking ahead, but I'm also looking back and realizing how good God was. And I remember singing this course as a child. And it says, just to have a touch, Lord, from you, to help me in the trials I go through. Though dark may be the night, it brings a ray of light when I get a touch, Lord, from you. Isn't that true? Just that special touch, that special time when he wakes you up in the night, when you're on your knees in prayer, or you're reading the Word of God, and he illuminates it, and you realize this is, God just wants me to understand this right now. This promise is coming to life in my heart right now. And of course, the old it's gone. Well, I'll just read it to you then. You know, it's a miracle of technology. Eh? It's like I'll go through this after I do it, and it's all there. And then it's kind of like me. I'm not all there all the time. But you remember this old song? He touched me, shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Man, when the hand of God touches you, you'll never be the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me, and he made me whole. And then the last verse, since I met this blessed Savior, since he's cleansed and made me whole, I'll never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rules. He touched me. Amen? He touched him. Jamie, you